pretty. He chose somebody. The story we're writing about this morning was trying to destroy the church. Okay? It's like I say, the truth. This is my buddy Jimmy. He's a great guy, but he's got a little bit of a theft problem, okay? So don't leave anything around, okay? And that's what the scripture does, you know? Not that Jimmy does. And the scripture does that in such a mighty way. Not you, Jimmy. Okay, I love you. My pal, my buddy, Jimmy. Okay. But today in our story, it's a day in the life of Paul. The book of Acts is a magnificent book. It blazes off the pages. Remember, the book of Acts is the history of the church. It's one of Phillips translation, a very old one. It says that the book of Acts is the young church in action. And I say, if that was the young church in action, then this is the old church in traction. Help me, okay? A lot of you don't know what traction means. For people, they're all out of joint, amen? And the great thing about the book of Acts, don't forget, it is the birth of the church, Acts 2:28. When Jesus ascended, the angel says, "Why, ye men of Jerusalem, stand here gazing, know ye not?" And the way that he left is the same way that he's going to come back. And he was taken up in the clouds, amen? And I want you to know that it's like on your mark, get set, boom, go. And the church began to run, and the church began to go. And then we see what happens, the Apostle Paul, and Peter, and Stephen, and all the wonderful things, and the birth of the church, and all the missionary journeys, 1 and 2 and 3, and all the things, and that's still taking place to this day. Amen? Good stuff. Now, let's go ahead and start looking at our story this morning. Verse 16, we'll start. Excuse me, help me, Lord. "Once, when we were going to prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had the spirit by which she predicted the future. She had earned a great deal of money for the owner by fortune telling." Once on the way to prayer, it's like a joke. Funny thing happened on the way to prayer, okay? On the way to prayer, I want you to know, a lot of you, and I don't mean this in a bad way or anything, are still on your way to prayer. Prayer is the place that we need to be. It is the most talked about and the least done in all the Christianity. Folks, I want you to know that it's not just preacher talk. It's just not church talk. Prayer is the pinnacle of who we are. It is the absolute commune with God. Come on, somebody say that's right. And I want you to know that the enemy and life circumstances in the walk-a-day world will do everything that it can to keep you from prayer. I have a very rigid devotion in the morning, a time that I go do my prayer, do my Bible and all that stuff. And between my upstairs and my downstairs, it's amazing how many things can get in the way. Help me. Am I the only one that's clumsy and handicapped when it comes to, right? You know what I mean? Oh, this is going on. This is stuck. This happened overnight. The doggie's doing it. Help me. Okay. All right. I'll feel awful lonely. Okay. You love me? Got to love me to go to heaven. It's a package deal. I go. You don't love me, you don't go. See, it's a fixed deal, all right? I'll salute. Let's get it all the way right now. Okay, here we go. It's hard to get to prayer. There's nothing like prayer. Now, look at this. But Paul and Silas, on their way to prayer, they met by a girl, a demoniac spirit, which she predicted the future. Now, the evil spirits, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, that there's a host of wickedness, a heavenly realm. There's all kinds of the devil is limited. He's not omnipresent. He can't be every place, but he has demons and minions and all kinds of things. And so there is people that have the ability to predict the future, and it's a very limited ability. And the only reason why they have the ability to predict the future is because they're spies, okay? If Donna and I are working on something and we're trying to figure something out, the demons can kind of hear where she's going, and I know where I'm going, and they can put it together, and then something can be uttered by somebody else and say, this is going to happen. And so it's kind of a fixed deal when you hear people. And you know what? It's amazing that one of the most popular 900 numbers is still fortune telling. People call and they will ask the silliest questions and they want to know things, and as it was then, it is now, and the last days to talk about. But this woman, the Greek describes this gift as, it was actually like she had the spirit, she had the gift of ventriloquism, and she was able to project her voice onto a dog or to a rock or to a person and say something. And there was an actual word for this. It was pythothemis in the Greek. It was a symbol of the great god of Apollo that knew the future. And everybody thought she was a religious person, if you will. And she was a very popular kind of prophetess, and they liked that. Because remember, those kind of people usually tell people the kind of things that they what? Hey, you know that. Oh, you called one of them numbers. Okay, I'm looking. All right. But that's what they say. You don't call them and they say, well, listen, you know, I think you're going to have a heart attack. You're probably going to lose all the money you have. Your kids hate you and your dog's running away. They're not going to tell you that kind of stuff, right? And on top of that, you're ugly. Okay, I'm looking. It's a joke. An old bitty joke. Okay. And so she's following these guys around. Now, remember, she's following them around. In verse 17, it says right here, we have that. So she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God and who are telling you the way to be. Now, this is very interesting. Remember, now she knows the spirit, the demons, they know who Jesus is. They know who the people of God is. Remember in Matthew 8, right here, it's really a portion, powerful portion of scriptures that we have to Matthew 8. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted, have you come to torture us before the appointed time? And then in Mark 1:34, beautiful, it says, Jesus healed many who had various demons, and he also drove away many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The underworld knows who Jesus is. The demons know who Jesus is. Everything that is evil and inherently bad knows who Jesus is because he is their demise. And this girl goes around. She can't help it. The spirit is just attracted, is overcome, and she's saying, these men know the way to the Most High God. And she did this for days. And in verse 18, Paul finally says she kept doing this for days and finally became so annoyed that they turned around and they said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left. Paul had enough. And I want you to know, folks, when you've had enough, you invoke the name of Jesus. Amen. It is the name above every name. It is the most powerful name. There's no other name on heaven given by men whereby you must be saved. And we have this bad depiction of an evil fight, like Hollywood shows, The Exorcist and all this stuff. Like the man of God takes two steps forward, and the devil takes one, and the devil takes one step back, and there's this battle. Baloney. At the mention of Jesus' name, demons flee. It's not a contest. We win every time. In the very moment that he commanded those spirits to come out, they were gone. It's just that simple. That's what my Bible says, so it's got to be so. Amen? Amen. Victor. Okay. We win. Say somebody. We win. All right. Verse 19. When the owners realize that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace. Now look at this. The owner of the slave girl realized that his hope of making money was gone. You think the first thing, if a man had somebody around him or somebody that was demon-possessed, that was tormented, that was living a life of bondage, the first thing they would do would rejoice. Come on, help me. Don't you think that would be the reaction, that they would rejoice? And it says that when he saw that his opportunity of making money was gone, so something physically took place when that demoniac came out of her. When that demon left her, I want you to know all of a sudden, she was beautiful. The spirit of God replaced the spirit of the demons. And all of a sudden, he could tell, my money, my bread basket, my bread, my butter, my meal ticket is just gone. And oh my goodness. And it says right here, and to him, it was an issue of property rights and making money. He didn't care about her. It, just like the world, folks, they will use you up. They don't care about your future. They don't care. Now, when I was a bad boy a long, long time ago in the 70s on the strip before I got saved, was stealing and lying and doing all the bad things you can do. Looking at me, you were. And not Pastor Vic. And it was amazing to me, Pastor Barbara. I was so popular. Everybody loved me. And I would lie and steal and cheat. And it was just a joke. And when I got saved, nobody liked me. I didn't get invited any place. I didn't get called on the fishing boat. I didn't get asked to come to poker games. I didn't get no love, no how, no way. It was me and Jesus and my precious Sarah. And then I found this church. I walked in here, and I never left. When the spirit of the world left me, nobody wanted nothing to do with me for long. Help me. All right? And it'll happen to you. If you're loved and you're respected and everybody likes you at church, at work, you ain't told them you're a Christian. All right? It can still be good, but it's going to be a little more difficult. Help somebody say that's right. Okay. You got to help me. I need encouragement. I'm sick. I'll fall asleep. I'm medicated. Okay. Am I sleeping? Okay. Wake me up when I get home. Okay. Like, are we there yet? All right, where am I? Okay. Oh, verse 20. Turn the page. Okay, we having fun? Church is a fun place, ain't it? Amen. All right. Okay, verse 20. Okay, they brought them before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs that are unlawful for us." Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now look at this. This kills me. Just like it was then, it still is now. They thought this lady was religious. They thought she was godly, okay? And everybody was cool with that as long as it was cool with them, right? As long as they were hearing what they wanted to hear, they were happy. Just like with you. You go tell people you're a Christian, well, that's for you, that's good, oh, I like it, and this, that, and the other. And the very second you say something that's convicting or something that's counseling or something, hey, you keep that to yourself. Separation of church and state. Come on, right? You can't talk about Jesus on a job. Come on, somebody help me. Okay, this is exactly what happened. People like Christianity on you as long as it doesn't try to get on them. And when it tries to get on them, you have infringed on their rights. Let me tell you something, folks. The day has happened that when you don't have the right to declare Jesus boldly, and you have to worry about your job or worry about something, the world has turned too many times. And the Bible said that that would happen. In the last days, men will heap up teachings, like you guys are talking about Spain, the secular humanism there. People are heaping up teachings to hear what the ear wants to hear. Amen? Amen. I have rights. As a Christian, you have forfeited your rights. You have the right to have your sins forgiven. You have a right to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have a right to have a mansion. You have a right not to go to hell. You have a right to call upon the name of the Lord. You have rights that the world don't know about. Somebody help me. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Now this is what always happens. Verse 22 and 24 says right here, the crowd joined in. Now, when you're at work and in your life, this is just a day, right? And when things start going against you, the crowd's going to join in, aren't they? The crowd joined in an attack against Paul and Silas and the magistrate and ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Stripped and beaten. That's a pretty bad combination, okay? After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he had received orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. That's what happened on the way to prayer. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I came to prayer this morning at 9 o'clock, okay? It was good. Smooth sailing. I walked in. Jimmy, I don't feel good. Barbara, pray for me. You know what I mean? Okay, so far, no beating, no stripping, no intercession. Okay? The crowd joined in and attacked them. Remember in John 15, 20 and 21, powerful portion of scripture says, don't worry that the world hates you. They hated me also. Remember? Who wants to be like Jesus? Say, I want to be like Jesus. Well, it's going to be rough, okay? It's going to be tough. There's going to be some challenges along the way. Paul and Silas did a good thing, and now a bad thing happened to them. Is this God's will? Okay, well, think about that. You wake up, you're doing good things, and then things go bad. Is this God's will? I think I'm going in the right direction. Is this God's will? And we'll find out. We'll check it out. They stripped him and they beat it and handed it over to the jailer. Now I want to tell you about the Roman jailer. The Roman jailer is a very interesting position. He was the commander, sergeant, lieutenant, captain of the Roman army that had gotten so much trouble, that had beaten and stolen and should have been court-martialed and should have been killed or kicked out of the army, if nothing else. They would say, you're so bad, we're going to make you a jailer. And you're going to be in charge of this jail. And any jail that's under the proclamation of Caesar, if there's an escape, you die. That's where you're going to end up, you bad, rotten, stinking Italian Roman jailer. Okay? This is your lot now forever. You're in charge of the jail, but one of these guys are gone, you're dead. Okay? So they would pick the worst possible person to be in charge of the jailer. So when he was handed over to the jailer, he was basically handed over to the devil on this side of earth in terms of physical torture and physical torment and the lack of any human concern or anything like that. That was the Roman jailer. Anybody want that job? Okay? All right? And now look at this. And they had him flogged. The flogging took 10 people to do it. The jailer would have the people that would use the whip to put the whip that Jesus was beaten with. They would put glass and nails and all different kinds of things that they could put to inflict pain and punishment and take flesh off when they would strike them. And so they give them this beating, and after they give them this beating, they're sitting in this cell with their feet locked up. Now think about it for a second. Excuse me. What do you think they looked like? They were swollen. They were cut. They were bruised. They were bleeding. They were in pain. And they probably stunk to high heaven. And they're in this inner cell, which effectively is a hole in the middle, like a dungeon, with a cage over the top of it. And they're in there, and they're beaten. Have you ever had a day like this where you start off and everything is going good and you're doing and going and acting like you think you should? You're doing everything that God wants you to do. You believe that you are and you know that you are and you're there and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and then everything fall apart. By the end of the day, the earth has shaken. Everything hit tilt. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Life can hit tilt real quick, can it? Everything can get out of whack just like that. And this is where these two find themselves. At the end of the day, everything is just wrong. They're beaten. They're busted. They're basically defeated. And all they did was exercise the will of God, the authority of the scriptures, on their way to prayer. They did what they were supposed to do, and they're lying in this inner cell and inches from death. How many of you have ever felt like that at the end of the day, even symbolically? And man, I just can't take one more phone call. I can't take one more piece of bad news. Come on. Somebody tell me one more thing. You know, I'm going to stick my head in the pool and I'm going to drown myself or do something however you want to do it. All right? But you just had enough, right? Okay. And the Bible says, go to verse 25 and 26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. And then suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors opened, flew wide open, and everyone's chains came off. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something about midnight. Come on. There's just something about midnight. It's the end of the day. and it's the beginning of another day. It's a magical moment. It's where this day ends and this day starts. And we only, and this is the day that the Lord has made. We only get one day at a time. And this is when the next one is stamped out by the Maker. And at midnight, they're busted, they're broken, they're defeated. They're in the cell. What would you be doing? What'd they start doing? They're in the cell. And they start singing, I will praise him. I will trust him. I will call upon the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will praise him. And it says that the other prisoners were listening. Now, I want you to know today, without a shadow of a doubt, when you begin to praise in the bad situation, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Isaiah said, put on a spirit, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And when you begin to praise the Lord, I want you to know that your workers, when your life falls apart, everybody around you is looking to see how you're going to react. Come on. They are. And they were listening. How are these guys going to react? They were listening, and they wanted to see if your life's going to fall apart. Just like when Jesus, when he was on the cross, what'd they say? He trusted in God. Let God save him. Amen? And that's what they said to him. And now look at this. How beautiful. How beautiful. They're broken. They're busted. They're singing praises. Everybody's listening. They got the whole attention of the whole prison. The praises of God are going up. And when the praises go up, the power comes down. Amen. When the praises go up, the power comes down. And it moved with the trusting and the singing. It moved God. It moved him so much. Dad, I gotta shake this joint up. And he began to shake it, and he began to rattle it, and the doors busted open, and the chains came off. Folks, your praises, your trusting shakes and moves God. When no one's around, he's still there. When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot. There's Jesus, and hold on, amen? Now, verse 27, the jailer woke up. You think? I love these obvious. The jailer woke up. Hey, what's all this noise? Oh, let me come in there. Okay. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison door open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. God showed up. The jailer was about to kill himself. Now, look at this. Now, who's in the dark and who's all alone? It's the jailer. And the Roman jailers, they kept a small sword on them that they knew they were going to be killed if a prisoner was gone. So they had the option to poke herself in the heart or stab herself in the artery in the vein in the neck, and to kill herself. And my Bible, your Bible says that he drew his sword to kill himself. Now, that's why I don't get to be God, and I don't get to be the Apostle Paul. And but you better say amen. Because if I'm Paul, and this just happened to me by that guy, and he pulls his sword, he's going to kill himself. I'm going to say, do it. Or if nothing else, I'm going to just say, hey, look, Silas, look at that rat. You know, look away for a minute, okay? Help me, okay? He's a better, bigger man than me, okay? Because this guy had it coming. Come on, let's get honest, right? He had it coming, and the Apostle Paul, what does he do? He shouts out verse 28, do yourself no harm. This is a bad man. And Paul, with the love of Christ, is loving him. A good man is loving a bad man. This is Jesus showing up through the Apostle Paul. Amen. Look at verse 29. The jailer called for the lights, and they rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Look at this. The day before midnight, yesterday, he had beaten and flogged and locked them in the inner cell, and now, right now, he's fallen before them on his knees. What'd I tell you when I started? What a difference a day makes. Come on, right? I'll tell you what, you can be broke and down and out today and back on top tomorrow, amen? And back on top is having a person that's before the Lord, that's humbled and ready for transformation. That's what we're living for. That's why you're going to Spain. Amen? Amen. Just a reminder. Okay. Okay. Now it's a new day. This man is before him. Look at verse 30. Read it. Let's find out. Read it. Okay. Then he brought them out and he asked, Sir, you see the reverence? What must I do to be saved? It's the question that we live for everybody to ask us every day. Come on, right? What must I do to be saved? How do I get to go to heaven? How do I get my sins forgiven? And the jailer brought him out of the inner cell. He's on his knees, and he asked, what must I do to be saved? And now look at verse 32. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. They preached the word to him. They told him about Jesus, what he did, who he was, where he came from, how much he loved him. They just stopped right there and had church. Isn't that something, folks? They had church. Now look at verse 33 and 34. Right here he says, at that hour of the night, the jailer took him home and washed their wounds, and immediately he and his household were baptized. He told him everything. The jailer brought him into his house and set a meal before him. There's a typical Italian right there, okay? Everything's falling apart, middle of the night, everything's bad. Let's mangiati, okay? Let's cook a little meal, right? Let's make some macaroni over here, right, Larry? Okay? Let's have some meal. Let's have some food. Let's have some pasta. Jesus is here. Paul's here. My wife's here. Everybody's here. Let's eat. Now we can eat, okay? Look at the, amen, you're hungry, okay? And look at this, it says that he washed their wounds. He washed their wounds. He's a new man. Can you see him by the water washing Paul and Silas' feet and saying, please forgive me, I'm sorry, my friend. And Paul and Silas are saying to him, it's okay, you're baptized, your house is saved, you're saved, be full of joy because Jesus has come into this house. One for the jailer. Amen. That's the title of my message right here. One for the jailer. Now look at this. Oh, so beautiful. Verse 35. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent the officials, the officers, to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrate have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can go. Leave in peace. Live in peace. Leave in peace. You think they'd have been happy about that, right? Next verse, 36. Look at this. I love this. But Paul said to the officials, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens. They beat us publicly, even though we're Roman citizens. Excuse me. I think I'd have shared that little nugget of information a long time ago, okay? I think they could have stopped this whole deal, okay? I would have told them that right off the bat. Hey, here's my Roman card, okay? As soon as they came up to me, hey, I got my Roman ID travel pass right here. No beating, no flogging, no inner city, no earthquake, no nothing like that. He didn't do it. He says, they beat us. They threw us into prison. Look at this. And now they want to get rid of us quietly. This is where the power of Christ comes in. No, let them themselves come and escort us out. We are going to lead this parade. They want us to lead. They're going to give us a public escort right through the streets of Philippi. Come on, somebody say amen. This is your God. This is my God. This is the ability that he has to transform and change a situation. So they escort them out. And the church was encouraged and everything was well. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, I'm reading before, they went to Lystia, the house where they met the brothers and the sisters and encouraged them, and then they left. When a bank robber, an embezzler, jewel thief, some big-time criminal, even a small-time criminal, when they commit a crime, big crime, I come from a family of criminals, my father, three-time loser, prison, everything, they say to themselves, this crime is worth the time. The juice is worth the squeeze. The reward is worth the punishment. And so they go do it. And I want you to know, the Apostle Paul, he said, this jailer is worth the beating. This jailer is worth the humiliation. This jailer is worth the public shame. And so he took it. And I want you to know that your Jesus, my Jesus, when he left heaven and he came to this earth, he said, you are worth me dying for. You are worth me being beaten. You are worth me being flogged. You are worth everything. The juice is worth the squeeze. He said this, and this is what Jesus has done for us. He took a jailer, the worst person that there was, and he allowed himself to be publicly beaten and flogged and humiliated. And Paul had to go through this whole 24-hour thing to get to midnight. And let me tell you something. The midnight cry, there's just something about it. And every one of you have a midnight. You just lost your precious wife lately. We're going to bury your wife on Tuesday. Precious, precious lady. Today, I don't know what your midnight is. It might be drug addiction. It might be a divorce. It might be failure. It might be a kid that hasn't talked to you, that's breaking your heart. I've had one of my kids not talk to me for a while. All of my kids are tight. But that's a bad feeling, isn't it, folks? There's a big hole in your heart. Whatever your midnight is right now, I want you to know that when you begin to sing praises, when you begin to trust the Lord in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your brokenness, and you say, God, welcome home. When you say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. I'm just going to praise you. 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 Stand up with me right now. David, lead us in the praise.
Well, I hadn't thought about it, but I think this might be Paul and Silas's theme song. All the chains are broken. Oh. And I have been set free. Every word you've spoken. Watching over me. How can I stay silent when I hear you call my name? Living in your presence will never be the same. For I've been found in you. And now I'll sing out your truth. Shout of praise. all the chains are broken. I have been set free. Every word you've spoken is watching over me. So how can I stay silent when I hear you call? You call my name. Living in your presence, I'll never be the same. Oh, because I've seen the wonder of your loving ways. So much joy here in your embrace, makes me want to sing and celebrate, because I've seen the wonder of amazing grace.
Folks, his grace is amazing. It's magnificent. It's all-encompassing. Let me tell you one thing about grace before I let you go. You have the grace that you need for this day. Grace is sufficient unto the need and unto the day. Whatever it is that you have to face, that's the grace that you've been given for this day. And I want to say this. Someone's here this morning, and you think that you failed God. Impossible, okay? He loves you. You failed you. You didn't fail God. He's crazy about you. He loves you, and he has a plan for you. Thank you for being in God's house this morning. I get the privilege of preaching next week. I'm going to teach you how to kill a giant. Okay, so come on back. Pray for Pastor Randy and Pam. We have a beautiful funeral here Tuesday morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.